St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday. What a weird, I know it's the weirdest thing to complain about, getting a day off in the middle of the week, but we were off yesterday because of the Cardinals game. I went to the game, and it couldn't have felt more like a Saturday.
I get you.
Which really changed the way I looked at today.
No, that's a good point. It kind of resets your brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a lovely day. Went to the game solo. Got a text from a friend of mine asking to meet her for a drink afterwards at Broadway Oyster Bar, where I haven't been in 15 years, maybe 20.
All right.
And it was delightful.
Nice.
Really fun.
Nice.
And then I walked back here. So I usually leave around 5. And I walked back here, and it was about 5:20. And I had that same feeling, because I parked here. I had that same feeling you had as a kid at parent-teacher conferences when you're not used to being.
Yeah.
And it's only 20 minutes later. It looked exactly like it looks when I'm here.
But it's after school.
But it's after school.
Yeah.
And everyone was gone.
Yep.
And I just felt like, I don't know what I'm doing. What's happening here?
Have you ever been here on a weekend before?
I have, for games.
Okay.
And I feel like... So Steve's the coolest boss ever, but he's still a boss. And when I'm here late, which for me is about 5:30, typically I have a Bud Light baseball game I'm playing in, and I always want him to see me. And like when I'm walking around, it's 5:30. I feel like such a stud. Like, oh, all the weaklings are home now with their families, but I'm still here walking around in a kid's baseball uniform. But I was like, Steve, see me walking around at 5:30.
There's a TikTok sound, and I think it's from a documentary on Beyonce, and Beyonce's like, when I work, I don't use the bathroom. I don't eat. I don't take breaks. And people will use that, like, it'll be like, me at 5:02 p.m. when I stay for 2 extra minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how I feel.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because when I worked on the farm, I was a late staying guy, which was a real badge of honor. You know, we would get there about 6 in the morning and work until 4 in the afternoon. But if you stayed, you could stay till like 8 p.m. And I was one of those guys. And I felt so special. And I was making money. I think I was getting paid $2.87 an hour. But working, you know, probably illegal hours. And I was 14 or 15. You know, I had nothing. But I had hundreds of dollars. It was pretty cool. Probably the most financially solvent I've ever been in my life. Like, relatively speaking. King of the castle.
Yeah.
Then I did a dumb thing last night, Rach.
What?
It wasn't dumb to order Dow 10.
Okay.
But it was dumb, and I still don't know why I did it. I got level 5.
No!
Dude, why did you get
the
level
highest
5?
Level.
It's because they couldn't talk him out of it. He orders the level 5 at the restaurant, and then they talk him down, and they go, hey, listen, this is pretty intense, and then Dave's like, eh.
So it was really, I love hot food. Whoops, it was really hot. I was crying. I didn't mind that. I'm sniffling and blowing my nose. I forgot all about that it has to come out.
Yep. That's
never
the thing.
Gave it a thought.
One way or the other.
It's Dave's paying the tax.
And about 2 a.m., I got a little rumble in my tummy, and I'm like, well, that's odd. And then I remembered.
Then you're like, uh-oh.
And I was pretty much up since about 2 a.m. this morning.
Dang it.
Yeah.
The worst is when that happens. And you're dealing with the aftermath, and you're like, what did I even eat that was so hot?
Right.
Then you got to think back.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much, I had a dog at the game, but that's pretty much the only thing I had all day. So it was like on its own. It was just like
yeah,
free.
Yeah, it's just by itself to just wreak havoc.
Exactly.
Dave,
exactly.
You took on the heat without teammates.
Yep. I did.
Man, that's brave.
It was foolish.
Well, bravery, foolishness, sometimes go together.
Often much so similar.
Oh, they live right next
brethren.
Door.
Yeah, they do.
They're in adjoining hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually the outcome determines sometimes which one of those you're called.
Yes.
Yes. If the outcome is good, you're called brave.
Yes.
If the outcome is bad, wow, they're a fool.
It was a bad
what
one.
What was he doing?
It was a bad one.
Yeah.
So, big plans for the holiday weekend?
Oh, we're off Monday too.
Dude.
I totally forgot.
Look at the clock.
I just, you know, look, It's because there's a Cardinals game that we're off.
Yes.
There may still be a Red Bull rush hour, so I may still have something to do. But like, because we don't normally have regular holidays off, I just never think of it.
Yeah.
But when the Cardinals help us out and have a day game, that's nice.
I'm off.
Yeah, I'm going to the game Monday, and I believe I'm doing a vigil, hospice vigil for Noda tomorrow evening. If the person's still there, I will be there. And that's about it, which is nice, having like a pretty open,
yeah.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend, don't have to be here, be there, so it's kind of nice.
I know where I'm going to be.
Where are you going to be?
On my couch.
Yeah?
College football, baby. It's a big day tomorrow.
Okay, I do this every year. I literally do this every year. But Mizzou wins last night 61-6.
Mm-hmm.
Did we learn anything? Does it serve any purpose other than it's fun to watch your team beat up on somebody? Like, I just don't understand this thing we do.
You talk about the paycheck games.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, someone's going to get killed.
Nah, I mean, never usually goes that badly, but it's every big school does it. It's not just a Mizzou thing. Some schools do it more often than they should, but every team, Alabama's got a game like that. Everybody's going to have a game like that. It's a way to put your guys against somebody else in another uniform where you can kind of let it rip.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't really, you do, but you also feel like you want to not hurt your teammates.
Sure.
So in scrimmages and stuff, they don't get me wrong. They hit each other. They tackle. It's just a different feel.
Yeah.
So you're getting somebody in a different uniform. You're going to execute a game plan. Probably not the one you're going to want to use against your best opponents, but mm-hmm. you're going to use some things. I don't think it's super useful.
Yeah.
But what it does is you're going to play a home game, you're going to sell out, you're going to make a lot of money, and you got a guaranteed win. And then the other team gets a guaranteed check, which is why they're doing it.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan either. I wish they those
it's
games
like if I
didn't
decided
exist,
at 60, I'm going to become a boxer. And I'm eventually going to box other trained 60-year-old boxers. But I'm going to warm up on 10-year-olds. I don't know that it gets me any closer to be able to box someone my age.
Yeah, it's not quite that big a difference. It'd be maybe like boxing an 18-year-old.
No, I'd lose that.
There's at least a chance. Now, in fact, I forget who I was talking about these games yesterday with somebody, and I forget who it was. Might have been Andrew. Maybe not. But we were just talking about how rarely the little guy ever wins these games. It happens. But when it happens, it's like a historic, yes. like once in every 30 or 40 or 50 years, kind of like Appalachian State beating Michigan.
Yeah.
Like when that happened, the whole world was stunned. And but again, it's not the point. The point is sell some tickets, easy win. Everybody makes money and you get some reps outside of just beating up on your own guys. But again, if it were my choice, those games would go away. I would never play those games.
So I went to the game. I forget which night it was this week with Nick. And it was the game that Brad Young was there. And I'm like, hey, come by and see me. Here's where I'm sitting.
Uh-huh.
Of course he came by to see me.
Nice.
Only Brad Young. Everyone
man
says
of his word.
That.
Yeah.
No one does that. That's really cool.
He's a man of the people.
I refuse to talk to him.
Yeah, you looked
like,
away.
You
put
I'm like, you don't
up.
Just walk up on me, dude, okay?
Who are you again, sir?
You called security on him. Being harassed by a rabid fan.
Brad's the best.
This man's making legal arguments to me.
Which man?
No, that's what you're telling security.
Yes.
This man is trying to litigate me.
He's talking about writs of certiorari.
And I don't know what that is.
Get him out of here. So here's a real topic we can do quickly. I'm not that twisted up that Donald Trump got rid of Kamala Harris's security detail. As I understand it, because I actually read the article, you get 6 months after you leave office, which she's had. But before leaving, Joe Biden said, I'm going to give you 18 months. So here's how I operate. The former president said 18 months. If I were the new president, I would honor that. Then again, I'm not a giant D. And I would say, sure, great, be safe, good luck in the future. But she had her 6 months, and if Trump wants to get rid of it, like, I think it's an SE thing to do, but, like, she got what she had coming to her. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you mean by what she had coming to her.
You get 6 months.
Except it was extended to 18 by the president.
Yes.
So actually what's coming to her is 18 months of protection.
But by law, it's 16 months. President Biden had the right to do that, which I would honor, but President Trump has the right to say no. So that's kind of what, like we did last week, this little exercise, that as I understand it, we're working within the law on a lot of these things. And when we're not, people are filing lawsuits. It's why Brad Young and I talk about all the time that every law student for the next 30 years is going to be all Trump. Mm-hmm. Because he's doing things that seemingly violate the law, and people sue, and it goes to the Supreme Court. We're going to know a lot more. But on this one, it didn't like, it's a big red headline on Drudge, and she's going out on a book tour, and she's not going to be safe, and this is a bridge too far.
Well, why do you think Biden extended her security protection by another year?
I don't know.
Do you think he did it for absolutely no reason, or do you think there was some sort of threat there and he thought, you know what, this is probably a good idea?
No way of knowing, which is why if I was the incoming president, I would defer to the former president. But I'm a very different guy than the current guy. So, Wheels, how's it hit you?
Just kind of childish, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, why are we playing out vendettas? Just leave it. I would leave it for Trump or Pence or J.D. Vance
too.
Or anyone else. I would not bother with it. If you're like, oh, we got to save money. You ain't saving that much money. And it's certainly for so many of these presidents who blow budgets up because they want to play golf or they want to go to their ranch or they want to do whatever. I mean, if we can do all that, then you can extend somebody's coverage or at least leave it in place.
Yeah.
And I don't care who it is.
Well,
if it's happening to Donald Trump, if it's happening to J.D. Vance, or if it was Mike Pence and the president pulled that short of what it was supposed to be, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. Just be a grown up. Don't put little personal things into the job because you're doing a job. Be a professional.
Yeah, and I know security was pulled for a lot of people whenever Donald Trump came into office for the second time. The difference is Kamala Harris was the vice president of the United. It's not like it's just like, oh, yeah, she's some official who really knows who she is when she walks down the street. Like,
right.
She's one of the most famous women on the planet. Again, it just really rubs me wrong because I highly doubt Joe Biden just rolled out of bed and went, you know what sounds fun? Extending her Secret Service protection for absolutely no reason.
I will say
was a reason behind it.
Yeah, they should. But here's what bothers me about the way it was done is that this is the first time it was disclosed to anybody. If you're making that decision and you have, like Rachel's pointed out, I'm sure there's a good reason, then you tell us. This is the problem with presidents just doing things at the stroke of a pen.
You mean Biden?
Yeah, or Trump. Like it's the same. It's the same problem. Mm-hmm. Like if Joe Biden is going to extend that protection, why is it a secret? Why wasn't it simply, hey, we're doing this because there are an extraordinary number of threats, and not only was she vice president, but she was also a presidential candidate. So we're going to give this a little bit more time. Just say it.
It wasn't a secret. I mean, people knew that her security had been extended.
No,
CNN
I know, but
I had heard that.
The story that I'm seeing says that this had not been made public until now. Those are the exact words in the story. This has not the period ended July 21st. However, her protection had been extended for an additional year via directive not made public until now. Signed by then President Joe Biden.
I had just seen an article on CNN that CNN had reported about the extension. So, I mean, I'm actually
looking at a CNN story, which is so weird.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what the.
That's crazy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS coming up at 1:30. We have Ricky Horton coming up at 2. Friends from No One Dies Alone from Bethesda, Bernie Nicholas, Alvin Reed, George Mahey, so big Friday show. Rach, what is an office siren?
You haven't seen this on TikTok or anything?
I've seen the phrase, but I haven't paid attention.
Okay, so it's a trend where young women dress kind of vintage, like 90s, early 2000s, corporate, but it's more provocative. So much more provocative than you're used to seeing in a typical office place, like skirts with maybe like a high slit or a very short skirt, a fitted blouse that's low cut. Maybe it's a crop top. stilettos, like heavy makeup, just very much like something you would see maybe like a pinup girl wear rather than a professional woman. And a lot of folks in like the Gen Z generation have embraced this and they're like, I'm the office siren. I'm the sexy girl at work, which it's like, okay, that's fun if you're just doing that to post. But people are actually going into work dressed like this and then they're getting in trouble because it's highly inappropriate for the workplace. And in some cases, their careers are being derailed because of their poor fashion choices. And I just think... At the end of the day, it's kind of funny. Like, if you actually think it's appropriate to wear that to work and no one's going to say anything, I kind of don't know what to tell you at that point.
I wondered just, I only work in one office and I know what our attire is like. I know it's gotten way more casual. I don't see anyone dressed inappropriately, but, you know, like... It's cool to wear yoga pants and shorts and things like that. That's been a big change. But I don't know what it's like out there in corporate America.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to know your own company. Like, it should be pretty obvious when you walk around, right? Like, what's acceptable and what's not. I mean, and most places do kind of let you know. They don't usually leave it up to, you know, well, just show up however. I mean, usually it's like... Hey, you know, hey, wear a collar or, you know, no jeans or you'll always get some guidance at a job.
Yeah.
And if you're at a certain kind of job, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what, like, if you're at a, I don't know, like an entertainment company where you're doing fun things and you're not interacting with the public a lot, maybe it's not that inappropriate. If you work at a bar, maybe it's not that inappropriate. But like, if you're working at IBM, probably inappropriate.
Rach, is there a male corollary to that?
I have not seen one. But in general, like, what is the male corollary? I can't talk. You know what I'm saying?
Hunk.
What is the male equivalent to, like, dressing sexy? Like,
being an office hunk?
If you guys wanted to be the office hunk, what would you throw on that day?
Exactly what I'm wearing.
Same, now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerseys.
Pink button up.
It's what chicks dig.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, I was ahead of my time once again. The big male attire trend this fall, shackets.
Jackets.
I left shackets in 2024.
You ended that trend
before it even started.
You should wear a shacket over your baseball jersey and see what happens.
There you go.
I don't know, man. I don't know if we can handle that.
It's a lot of sexy.
You might have a lot of people just leaving the building like, we can't do this.
You can't work like
You'd
this.
You'd be the office siren. Like, yeah, there's not right.
There you
it's
go.
Not can't
right.
deal with this office siren.
Guys, DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Time to talk to our pal, Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Rick, you would have really laughed. I was at the game night before last, and I was sitting right underneath the booth where you and John are, and yes. I took a picture of it, and I was going to send it to you, and it was about 5 minutes before game time, because we have this whole funny bit going on that we're best friends, and in real life, though, I was like, don't be so thirsty. Don't be so thirsty. The man's about to go on the air. He doesn't need to look and say, why is Dave Glover texting me? Who the hell cares where he's sitting? But I was.
Wait a minute. You don't think I prepped, do you? Wait a minute.
Yeah, he's got 5 minutes. They're doing nothing.
But I was, well, I'm glad you were in the neighborhood. And, you know, there were several foul balls that came just below us. You didn't get one of those, did you?
No, but I'll be honest with you. I went to the game yesterday, and I sat in the fifth row behind the green seats. I went by myself. I treated myself to a nice ticket. And they were hitting a lot of foul balls around me, and I was nervous because I didn't. This is how weird I am. I didn't want the pressure because I was the only one in my row. I didn't want the pressure of having to catch a fly ball with my hands. I didn't want people like perceiving me.
And I get that. I mean, if you were in a row with like 8 or 10 people, you might kind of hide a little bit. Yeah. I get it, but you're right out there. So yeah, now honestly, that's kind of the reality of being on the field. When you're on the mound, you can't hide, man. I mean, if you're having a bad day, there is no place to hide.
I'm telling you.
No shelter.
And the first one that went up and everyone stood up, I stood up like everyone else and put my hands up. It could have hit me in the eye. Like it could have been in the outfield. It could have been a home run. It could have bunted. I had no clue where it was.
Man.
So you need to flip down shades or, you know, eye black might help. I mean, all those things are part of the deal. And you know, I mean, that's what the players use. So maybe if you're down close like that, you know, take those little extra advantages as well. But, you know, it's hard to get a good jump on it when you're sitting in your seat anyway.
You're right. You're right. Okay, so on my favorite radio show on KMOX, Redbird Rush Hour, yesterday, my partner Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauly had a great question, simple question, went the whole hour. I loved it, so I'm going to pose it to you. And the question was basically to the listeners, what will it take for you to be enthusiastic about 2026 season? You had some great responses.
Yeah, I thought there were good answers from the listeners.
So, Rick,
yeah.
How about you as one of the voices of the Cardinals? What's it going to take you to really be psyched about next year?
Well, I mean, I'm a bad person to ask that question because the answer, honestly, is, and I was saying this yesterday during the game, I had a great time at the ballpark. And about halfway through the game, I said, this is a fun game. It's a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. I'm at the ballpark. And all that was very sincere. And it's like, yeah, you want to win. But if you don't win, I still had a great day at the ballpark. So I'm a little bit more about the experience. And I like winning. And if, you know, being in Cardinal, you know, around Cardinal baseball for a long time, you expect that, you want that, and you miss it when you don't have it. But, you know, it's going to come around at some point, and I just, you know, I'm willing to be patient on that. So I may be the wrong guy to ask. I mean, if you're saying what do I think other people would take to get enthusiastic, I think just a clear voice for what Cardinals next is. And you know, you can call it Cardinal 2.0, whatever marketing phrase you want to use. And frankly, I think they should come up with one to be able to say, this is where we're headed. This is the new Cardinals. And it's not going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be, you know, a year or two. But this is what we're doing to rebuild. We're going to become a team that you're going to be excited to come and see again. I think that's part of it. And, you know, and that would include things at the ballpark. I know they're going to enhance a lot of the experiential stuff at the park. They've tried to do a little bit of that, but I think they're planning on more. I think all those things packaged into a message would be a good place to start.
Yeah, a lot of the answers we got, Ricky, were around a similar theme, and it is, let's just not make the same mistakes that have been hurting the team for the last years. I mean, we know there are going to be challenges. You know you're going to be finding out about guys again, right? There are going to be new players that are getting chances.
Yeah.
We're getting one of them tonight, seeing Jimmy Crooks come up. That'll be fun, but he's a guy that could be a big part of that. But even next year, he's still going to be learning on the fly like guys have been this year. It was more about, like, let's just not keep doing the same things that have gotten us into the place that we're in right now.
Well, and my take on it is, I think this year they decided not to do the same things. I think this year they didn't do the same things. I think the 3 years up to that of saying, we just want to be a playoff team, so we're going to go out and get Kyle Gibson, we're going to spend money on four or five relievers, older than Steven Matz and Lance Lynn, and we're going to spend, and then they realized, okay, that's not getting us there, and that's not enough for people. That's not Cardinal direction. That's not Cardinal excellence. So we're going to do something different. We're going to go backwards to go forwards. So I think they did exactly what they said they would do, which is go backwards, mm-hmm. but they did it in a different way. They said, so this year there's only been three Cardinals make their major league debut. Now we're going to change that today, I think, but there was only three. And 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago, there were 13. So there were 13, there were 9, there were 8, and now there's 3. So they are doing things differently instead of kind of maybe running guys to the big leagues, young guys, and seeing how they sink or swim. I think those guys are now either veteran guys that either are sinking or swimming, and then you move on from them and you go to the next group.
Yeah, I think a lot of the conversation that has been had too, Ricky, is because that's all absolutely true and absolutely happened. Like, this was a reset year, and they followed through
reset,
on that for
right,
sure. Yeah,
exactly.
They definitely followed through on that. I think the feedback we get, and I have to admit, I share the feedback, is more of the kind of player. Like, of the modern pitcher, which I know we all have issues about because guys get hurt because of high effort velocity, high effort deliveries and all that. But, you know, the whole pitch to contact and defense really hasn't worked out the last few years.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't work out the other way, I think there are a lot of fans that would be like, at least it's different.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I think that Zach Thompson was basically Liam Doyle. I mean, they're the same guy. I mean, the hard-throwing left-hander that struck out a bunch of people from Kentucky, I mean, or Tennessee area.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the same guy. He just got hurt, and he didn't become that. And he, not that that was an effort thing. So, you know, sometimes you get the guy, and the guy doesn't become the guy.
That's
now,
right.
I mean, I'm hoping it changes in that case. So it's not as if maybe the wrong guy was drafted, but you know, you get, I mean, baseball happens, and yep. some people come out of nowhere, like Albert Pujols's and Keith Hernandez's, and you know, they become your stars because they just are, and you kind of hit on them, and then some guys you don't hit on, and so I feel like, you know, I'm hoping the Cardinals eventually hit on Quinn Matthews. He'll be different. I mean, he will be different. He'll be a strikeout guy, and hopefully at the big league level when he gets here.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Very talented kid.
What do you guys make of, I think Freddie Freeman's the only guy over 300 for the season?
Yeah.
How rare is that?
Will, that's a tricky thing, isn't it, Will? I mean, I feel like, you know, we've devalued, we still devalue the single. I mean, most teams still devalue that. And, you know, I kind of don't devalue the single if the guy can run and steal second, because I think that's an extra base hit. I mean, a guy like O'Neill Cruz, it's OPS shouldn't be the thing on him. It should be OPS plus stolen bases, because he's actually getting extra bases on his own by stealing them. So I think that's valuable. But I think we're still kind of power happy. And as long as we're power happy, you're going to have a lot of swing and miss, and you're going to have a lot of kind of low averages. And people are honestly seem to be content with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the hard part. There's so much to it, because if you look at ultimately runs per game.
Yeah,
it's not different than it was 20 years ago.
That's right.
It's like 4.45 per game now.
Right.
And it was 4.59 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And 20 years ago was kind of prime offensive time, right? Like late 90s, early 2000s was like the boom. So it's just style that changes over time. Yeah. And what's fascinating is that's even with guys throwing harder and, you know, getting into a lab and shaping pitches and tunneling and doing all the stuff that existed before, but we didn't know as well how to train it. We knew it existed and the great guys did it, but it was just like, we can't see it. So it's a different means to a different, to the same end, essentially.
There's no doubt about that. And the fact that pitchers are, you know, the whole pitching thing, I'm still waiting to hear how MLB, and we've talked about this 1,000 times, I don't need to do it again, but if MLB does land on something different to change pitchers with max effort, guys that are continuing to get hurt, which is kind of the reality on the pitching side, that is causing guys not to be able to make contact, and then they got to go with power, they got to go with home runs, because they're not able to put the ball in play enough, and guys are getting swing and miss. But you know, the baseball is still kind of working on, I think, kind of how to curb that problem.
Boy, it's such a hard one too, because you know, you look at who gets paid, strikeout pitchers and home run hitters. So you know if you're a young player, what do you want to do? You want to be the guy that gets the $35-40 million a year contract someday? You've got to give the team, and if you want to get drafted, you got to have those things, or you're just not going to get picked.
So you could change that, but that would have to be a whole kind of mental shift. I mean, the guys that got paid in 1990, guys got paid were the guys that went pitchers that won games and threw 200 innings.
Yeah.
Those were the guys that got paid. And that's not the case anymore. So, and I get it. And now the guys that hit home runs, you know, everybody wants to get paid. I mean, but you know, you also want to win. So figuring out how to do both of those things is what you're really hoping for.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think Schwarber goes up there looking for a home run?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He wakes up in the morning and says, "Do I want coffee or what? No, I want home runs today." He wakes up thinking home run. I mean, he goes to sleep dreaming of home runs. I mean, that is 100% what he thinks about.
Yeah, and the reason why he's good at it is because he doesn't swing at pitches he can't do anything with.
Right. Exactly.
If you look at him, like, he's an elite guy when it comes to walks and not chasing outside the zone.
Because he's looking for home run pitches.
Well, but he also, he's looking for that, but he also knows how to get it, right?
Yes.
If you don't know what to swing at, if you're swinging at everything, you're not going to hit very many home runs no matter how hard you hit the ball. And it's a fascinating thing to look at, guys that are like him. He's you know, I don't know who, Ricky, there are guys that have been like that in the past that are the low batting average, you know, big homer guys, but they're not many that have the low batting average, but also like a 370 on base percentage.
You're right. It's crazy good. And, you know, the one way to look at it, guys, is he's a he's a guy that's always hitting with a 3-1 count in his mind.
Yeah, I mean,
So he's zoning in on an area that he can let it fly, which people did, you know, I mean, people did in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. I mean, people have always done that. Where you're heading the count, you're looking to drive the ball. He's looking to drive the ball all the time, but it's as if it's a 3-1 count. So I'm not swinging at a pitch that's not in a very specific area, and that has worked very well for him.
It's an interesting thing, right, Ricky? I mean, like, we can look at, you look at a guy like Schwarber, you look at Aaron Judge, and nobody wants to throw them a pitch to hit. No, right. Nobody. Everybody's right. Absolutely making every effort to make the best pitches they can to not give them something to hit, but they always find it.
Yeah, no, they do.
Which shows you it's there if you know how to lay off the crappy stuff.
Well, it also shows you that pitchers are human, and I hate to admit that, but they absolutely are. And so, you know, like Brant Brown says, you know, home runs are thrown, not hit. And so if pitchers make mistakes often, and actually the better pitchers make less,
yep.
but everybody's going to make them. And, you know, we say all the time, I try to say on the radio, and of course I understand people can't see the pitch, but I'll say he got away with that one, mm-hmm. because, you know, you might hear us say, well, that's strike two. And it's like, well, that's a strike that could have been game over and we lost. I mean, but we got away with it. So I think there's a fairness to that and a fairness to how difficult it is to throw the ball where you want to from 60 feet, 6 inches.
All right, buddy. Have a great holiday weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Happy Friday, everybody. So I am the most recent guest on Mike Bush's podcast called And There You Have It. It's available now. Rachel, I think we put a link to it, right?
Yeah, but it's on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page.
Cool. There you go. I'll tell you this, it got kind of real. Like, I think Mike was a little relieved to have me as a guest because it's just going to be nothing but fun and frolicking, and it got kind of real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, when we finished it, his producer goes, that was great. And I think because we got really real and, you know, Mike and I are buddies and, you know. Well,
most people don't.
Most people don't. No. Very true. Great. Now we have drilling going on outside.
Well, you know.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I was trying to ignore it, but it is quite difficult to ignore.
Yes, it is. You want some cool science stories?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
Three quick ones back to back. A real scientist, not just a crazy conspiracy guy, says that he believes that 20,000 years is possible for a human life.
How many?
20,000. It's basically just, you know, recreating everything over and over again. But he says that he thinks that that is a solid number. Mm-hmm. Another real group of scientists say that what makes the most sense for dark matter and dark energy, which is the biggest riddle in cosmology right now, is that there is another identical but backwards universe.
Ooh,
where things
universe.
Run backwards.
It's always hard for me to wrap my mind around it. It's this, but backwards. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
You start old and die young?
Yeah,
it's probably the motion of the universe, right? Because the universe is in motion.
I'm with Rach.
Yeah. I mean, I don't fully understand. I'm just spitballing, but I don't think, I guess it would be just what, I don't know.
The toilet flushes in the opposite direction.
I guess, man. I mean, I don't know. Time goes like the other direction, but you count it the same way. I don't know.
And then the third story is that kind of in a similar vein, that your gut, when you get a gut feeling or a premonition kind of thing, is actually you having memories of the future.
Memories of the future?
Yes. Something is called, I think, like the block universe. That if you picture a big block, that all of time that's ever been or ever will be exists in that block. It's already happened. And you can slice it and be like, here's now. We all agree on that. But that you are somehow like spooky entanglement at a distance between particles, that you are somehow also connected to the future. And that every now and then it sort of glitches or bleeds through and you get that deja vu feeling, or you get a really like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. I think I've been here before, that you're having a memory of the future.
I mean, that's interesting. I'm reluctant.
Not very helpful.
Well, I'm reluctant to say that every time you have a gut feeling, that's exactly what it is. There are plenty of cases of people being like, I've got a bad feeling about this.
And then they're wrong?
Yeah, everything's fine. So, I mean, yeah, I'm a little reluctant to say, like, so that's what that is.
Theoretically, if that block universe, if that was true, then that would mean we have a destiny and we're going to be there.
Yeah, everything's preordained.
Right? I mean, am I reading that wrong?
That's how I took it, Wheels.
Because if there's a future and it exists, well, that means it exists.
Yeah. You're tied.
Unless I can, yeah, see, this is the thing that drives me crazy about these ideas, because, well, then what if I change it? Well, then it'll be different, and it'll, so it's constantly changing with you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's kind of like trying to ask your dog if he enjoys Bill Maher. I mean, like.
Yeah, we can't get it. You're right.
You can't get it.
Yeah. My dog will be like, whatever.
Yeah. So there's only so much we can do. Also, last thought. Why are we not all acknowledging that aliens have visited the planet or the devil has built something in Vegas, the sphere? It's so completely impossible and next level and crazy technology. And we all just kind of went like, oh, I wouldn't mind going there.
I love the sphere.
Yeah, me too.
I think the sphere is super cool.
It's nuts.
I'm kind of obsessed with it.
I want to go there. But I don't want to go there for one of the lame-os that are there.
I'll go there for literally anything.
Yeah. Same.
I'm thinking about trying to go to Vegas next year, like in the summer, and that would be like the number
just
one.
Just you? Just blow it out?
Just me. Ah. Just me. Lose everything.
Yeah.
I think Metallica's playing at the Sphere.
Really?
That would be cool.
I just want to see it when it has the smiley face on the outside and he's looking around.
I love when people will post from like their hotel room in Vegas where it looks like the Sphere is looking directly at them. Mm-hmm.
That's it. We need a sphere in St. Louis.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe a little one.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, we can't do a big one.
No, 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 the same size, man.
I think what we can pull off is googly eyes on the arch. I think that is what we can do.
That is not a terrible idea.
Take a little, like, glasses and mustache thing over the top.
I kind of like that.